Well, as Andrew said, we're delighted to be able to be together this afternoon to study God's Word, come together and worship Him and encourage one another, build one another up in our faith. I hope that you've had a good day serving the Lord, enjoying His blessings, maybe spending some time with family besides the time we get to spend together here as spiritual family. Those are some of the blessings of many a first day of the week, and I hope that you enjoyed some of those today. This last week, I was listening to the radio, as I often do when I'm in the car, switching around to different channels, trying to find something that's worth listening to. That's not always easy to do. Sometimes I just listen to spiritual hymns on CDs and things like that. But I do like to try to keep up with current events and catch ideas and things from what's going on in the world. So I was listening to this one radio program, and there was a nurse that works in an ICU, and she was talking about the real problem of dealing with grief and loss in her job. And I can only imagine, especially the last couple of years during this pandemic when so many people have lost their lives more than normal in ICUs. And so she's trying to deal with all of that in a professional way and yet in a caring way. But she's gotten emotionally involved very deeply in a number of the cases that she was taking care of the people, and they lost their lives. And she was talking about that, and she was talking about this one particular case that she had been working, and it was just obvious now that it was only a matter of time. The life could not be saved, and it was just a matter of kind of waiting to let the whole family know what was about to happen, and then allowing the death process to take place. She left the ICU that evening, and the next day was her day off. But she couldn't stop thinking about that. And she was burdened with it. She had her young daughter had a play date at a local park with some other children, and of course the moms were all there, so she's standing there pushing her daughter in a swing, and she just breaks down in tears. She's not really actively thinking about it at the moment, but it's just burdening her so much. And she realized she had a coffee date with a friend of hers in a little while. She was supposed to meet at Starbucks or something and have some coffee. And she realized, oh, I'm an emotional wreck. I'm not going to be any kind of good company. So she texted her friend and told her all of that. You know, I'm having emotional problems and I'm not going to be good company. If we meet, it's going to be a downer and all that sort of thing. I'm going through some tough emotional times. And her friend replied with these words, "You don't have to protect me from your grief." That's a friend. And I would hope that that's the kind of friend that every brother and sister in Christ would want to be to every other brother and sister in Christ. It's often those who bear others' burdens, who bear them the most, who have the most trouble sharing their own burdens. And that was true of this woman. She was taking on a load of everybody else's burdens all the time. And yet she was having trouble sharing those burdens with others who could help her. Leaders often find it difficult to share their burdens, their troubles, and their grief with others. I pray a lot for the elders of this congregation, who I know have burdens that are, I'm sure at times, overwhelming when they're concerned for the souls and well-being of the flock here. But leaders in all positions, I think that probably is true of, who are caring. Well, it's noble for us, and that's what we think. We think it's noble for us to bear our own burdens, our own griefs, our own problems, and not to burden others with what's going on in our lives. And so we don't, and we, you know, keep the English stiff upper lip and go on and pretend like nothing's really going on as we're dealing with all of these crises and all everybody else's concerns and the ups and downs of life. And so we allow our burdens to weigh us down in mind, in body, and spirit, to such an extent that we're hindered from doing our best for God. And it's not just leaders, but maybe that's true mostly of them, but it's true, I think, to some extent of all of us. That we are hindered, hamstrung, from doing all that we could for the Lord because we are just weighed down with legitimate concerns. Now, normally at this point in a sermon, when a preacher would bring this kind of stuff up, the next thing you would expect would be, well, cast all your burdens on the Lord, right? Which is a great place to go. That's not where I'm going, but that's a great place to go because He will bear your burdens, and we'll talk about that a little bit. It's not the thrust of this lesson, though. I want to talk about being willing to be acquainted with grief, both allowing ourselves to experience it ourselves, but also sharing it with others and be a person who's willing for others to share their grief with us. I think it's important. I think it's important to do what the Apostle Paul said to do. Rejoice with those that rejoice and weep with those who weep. One commentator, Albert Barnes, in commenting on that verse, said this: "It is the special duty of Christians to sympathize in each other's griefs for four reasons. First of all, because their Savior set the example. He sympathized with our griefs. Secondly, because they belong to the same family. We're brothers and sisters. We should, as family, share one another's grief. Thirdly, because they are subject to similar trials and afflictions. All of us have experienced grief. All of us have gone through hard times. All of us have had pain, anguish, and tribulation. And so we know what that is, and we can help one another through it because of that. And fourthly, we should be willing to help each other with our griefs and sympathize with the griefs of others because we sure can't expect sympathy from this world. You're not going to get it. As Christians, let's learn to weep with those who weep." I've said this before, a personal confession of mine that I need to probably make pretty often. For years, I would, you know, in consoling somebody who was heartbroken, had lost a loved one, was going through some terrible trial or tribulation, my way of comforting them would be something like this: now, don't cry. When I should have been crying with them. Because that's what they needed. For somebody to weep with them while they were weeping. Jesus was a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. In Isaiah chapter 53 and verse 3, in prophecy, Isaiah describes him this way: "He is despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we did not esteem him." A man of sorrows, acquainted with grief himself. But Jesus not only had his own grief and sorrow, but he bore the burdens, griefs, sorrows, and iniquities of others. For the writer goes on to say in verse 4, "Surely he has borne our griefs." He's a man of sorrows and acquainted with griefs in large part because he took on our griefs. He's borne our griefs. He's carried our sorrows. "Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all." I want you to see what this text says that Jesus is bearing. He has borne our griefs. He has borne our sorrows. And he has borne our iniquities. When the old song that we sing says that he bore it all, brother, he bore it all. He bore it all that we might live. He bore it all. This is Jesus. Much of the grief that Jesus experienced, he experienced because he had such great compassion for others. The word compassion is a word that's just pretty simple in its etymology, the come part of it, co-passion, if you will, means to experience something with somebody else. You're doing something with somebody else. Passion comes from the Greek word pathos, and it has to do with what you're feeling. So you're experiencing feelings with somebody else. That's what compassion is. You're experiencing their feelings with them, to feel with. That's what it means. Jesus repeatedly had compassion and showed his compassion for what others were feeling, for what they were going through. You see it over and over again. And just a few quick examples of that. In Mark chapter 9 and verse 22, a father of a demon-possessed boy comes begging Jesus and telling Jesus that his son has often thrown, the demon has often thrown his son into the fire, into the water to destroy him. And he says to Jesus, but if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us. And Jesus said, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. And immediately the father of the child cried out and said with tears, here's a man who is overwhelmed with grief, who's overwhelmed with concern for his son, this demon-possessed boy. And he's tried everything he knows how to try. And he's begging Jesus, please have compassion. And Jesus said, if you can believe. And the man cries out, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. And Jesus has compassion. It's hard, I don't know about you, but as I try to picture that in my mind's eye, and I see that father in tears, just groveling there for mercy for his son, in my mind's eye, I want to look away. I don't want to see that. It's troubling. Jesus had compassion. In Mark chapter 1, a leper came to him in verse 40, imploring him with the sense, again, of just pleading with him, begging him. Kneeling down to him, he throws himself down before him. And he says, if you are willing, you can make me clean. And the text says, as you can, again, just see that scene. Here's a man maybe eaten up with leprosy, an outcast in society. His life is ruined from every standpoint, physically, emotionally, family, friends could not have anything to do with him. Spiritually, he's not allowed. You know, just every aspect of life. And he's in utter misery as he throws himself down at Jesus' feet and begs to be healed. And Jesus was moved with compassion. At a scene that would have a lot of people would have had to look away from and turn away from. Jesus is moved with compassion. And he does, I've noticed this several times as we've studied this in times past, but does the most amazing thing. He reaches out and touches the man. The man had probably not been intentionally touched by anyone for a long time. He was a leper. Jesus touches him. He touches him. And he says, I am willing. Be cleansed. In Matthew chapter 20, Jesus is on the Jericho road, and there are two blind men who are calling out to him, sitting by the road, Matthew 20, verse 30. They heard Jesus was passing by, and they cried out, have mercy on us, Lord, Son of David. The multitude warned that they should be quiet. A lot of compassion there, right? Hush up. We got Jesus coming through here. Don't mess this parade up, right? But they cried all the more, saying, have mercy on us, O Lord, Son of David. Jesus stood still, and he called to them, and he said, what do you want me to do for you? And they said, Lord, that our eyes may be opened. So Jesus had compassion and touched their eyes. And immediately
Their eyes received sight, and they followed him.
And then the fourth example of many, many that we could look at of Jesus showing compassion, having compassion, is found in the familiar story in John chapter 11. Jesus had recently been in Jerusalem. His life had been threatened, and so he decided to go away for a while, leading up to the time that he was going to be crucified. And he was some distance away from Jerusalem when Mary and Martha sent word to him that his friend, whom he loved, Lazarus, was very sick. And Jesus gets the word. He finds out about it, but he doesn't rush to help Lazarus. He knows what's going on. And he waits 2 days where he is until he finally decides to go to Jerusalem. When he gets to Jerusalem, and he meets with Mary and Martha separately, but he finds out that Lazarus had been dead 4 days by the time he got there, and he'd been in the tomb. And the Jews were gathered in Mary and Martha's house, and then they came out in sort of this procession as they're all going to go now to the tomb. Jesus wants to know where they've laid him. And we'll pick up the reading in John chapter 11 and verse 32. When Mary came where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet. That sound familiar? She fell down at his feet and says, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." Therefore, when Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who came with her weeping, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled. And he said, "Where have you laid him?" And they said, "Lord, come and see." Jesus wept. And his great apostle would later write, "Rejoice with those that rejoice, and weep with those that weep." And that's what he did. That's what Jesus did. He allowed himself to feel the suffering and the pain of others. He welcomed it. He was fully acquainted with grief. He was fully acquainted with the grief of others. He not only saw it and cared about it, he felt it. Compassion. That's compassion. God wants to bear our burdens. Jesus, God in the flesh, came to bear our burdens. God still wants to bear our burdens. He wants to know what your burdens are. He wants to weep with you. He cares about you and wants to know what you're feeling. You say, "Well, he already does know." Right. But he wants you to share that with him and allow him to take the burdens. The Lord will still bear our burdens. Jesus Christ, our high priest, is not a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. He is our great high priest. He's gone through trials and tribulations and temptations, and he wants to help with ours. We can come boldly to his throne to help, to find help. There's another word I want to talk about for a second. We talked about compassion. A very similar word is the word sympathize. The S-Y-M prefix there comes from another Greek prefix, which means, instead of with so much, it probably means together. But very similar to the co, you know, the compassion and then sim, together. Pathos, passion. It's the same, really, idea, but maybe a little bit stronger. Where you're doing something together with somebody. You're feeling together, not just with them, but together with them, what they're feeling. He can sympathize. He feels together with you what you're feeling. Our high priest does.
And so, it's no wonder that 1 Peter 5 and verse 7 tells us, casting all your care upon him, because he cares for you.
Just, please understand this, how much Jesus, our Lord and Savior, our God and Father also in heaven, cares about you and just wants you to hand over those burdens. Never, ever feel like that you're experiencing a grief or a burden or trouble or trial or pain in this life that you cannot share with somebody, because you can always share it with the Lord, and he wants you to share it with him. He showed us that over and over and over again as he walked this earth. But that brings us then to being his disciples. We are to bear one another's burdens. We are to be like him, not just sharing our burdens with him, but allowing others to share their burdens with us. That's Christ-likeness. That's being like him, not looking away from others' grief and tribulations and pain and difficulty, but willingly sharing it with them, inviting them to load us with their problems, with their issues, and with their pain. We are to bear one another's burdens. It's the law of Christ. Here is the principle that Christ showed us and asked us to live by. Bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Galatians 6:2. In that context, the burden that's under consideration is overcoming a trespass. Man's overtaken any trespass, you are spiritual, restore such a one. It's what the previous verse says. But the general principle is, bear one another's burdens. Whether it's the burden of iniquity, or it's the burden of pain, or sorrow, or grief, or whatever it is. That's the general principle. And in doing that, we fulfill the law of Christ. There are burdens of responsibility that people feel. There are burdens, as we've said, of sorrow and pain, of decisions that are too difficult to make alone, of grief and loss, and all of these things that we are to share. Sharing a burden divides its weight in half. It's not all on you anymore. And sharing a joy doubles the joy. God has comforted us. He's taken our burdens. He's helped us through things so that we can do this for others, so that we can do this for one another. Please turn in your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 1 in this great passage on how God comforts us so that we can comfort others, and look at some of the details involved in that process with me in these few verses for just a couple of minutes. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 3, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our tribulations, that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also abounds through Christ." God comforts us as we suffer. We suffer with Christ, we suffer for Christ, we suffer as Christians with the attitude that Christians should have. God comforts us, and part of the purpose of that is so that we may comfort others. He loves us so that we may love. He comforts us so that we may comfort. In verse 6, "Now if we are afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation, which is effective for enduring the same sufferings which we also suffer." Which is to say, when you're going through a hard time, you go through it. You allow God to help you through it. You get through it for the very reason that you've got brothers and sisters who are going to go through the same stuff. And when God helps you through it, they know they can make it through it. And you can help them through it. That's what's being said. Look at it again in verse 6. "If we are afflicted, it's for your consolation and salvation, which is effective for enduring the same sufferings which we also suffer." And if Paul says, if I can make it through this with God helping me, you can make it through this with God helping you and me helping you.
If we are comforted, it's for your consolation and salvation. And our hope for you is steadfast because we know that as we are partakers of the sufferings, getting back to a lesson a week ago, fellowshippers of the sufferings. As we are fellowshippers of the sufferings, you also will partake, be a fellowshipper of the consolation, of the comfort. And then look, after he says that we all experience these same sufferings and the same divine consolation, and that's such an encouraging thing, then look what he says in verse 8. For we do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, of our trouble which came to us in Asia, that we were burdened beyond measure above strength, so that we despaired even of life. We had the sentence of death in ourselves. I don't know if you ever had the sentence of death in yourself. You know, you ever been in the hospital and doctor come in and say, you're not going to make it. You're going to die of this. Paul had the sentence of death in himself. He says, we've had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God who raises the dead, who delivered us from so great a death and does deliver us, in whom we trust that he will still deliver us. You also helping together in prayer for us, that thanks may be given by many persons on our behalf for the gift granted to us through many. A couple of things now to notice about this. One of them is that praying for the burden, praying for those who are burdened, is one way to help bear the burden. One of the things that we need to do is pray for one another in our burdens. I've heard a couple of prayers, a couple of them yesterday morning in the men's prayer meeting. One today where a lot of specific people were mentioned who are having some real burdens in their lives. And they're prayed for. And that's part of bearing burdens. That's part of comforting those who are being burdened. And you see it right in this text. Verse 11, you also helping together in prayer for us. You helped bear the burden. You helped us through the suffering, through the difficulty, because you were praying for us. Plainly, that's what he's saying. The deliverance was from God. Even though Paul was burdened, he says, beyond measure. Beyond measure. You couldn't weigh it. It was so heavy. He's burdened beyond measure. But he's helped by God. And the Corinthians helped too by praying for him. God comforts us so we can comfort others. We can do that in a lot of different ways. The Bible talks about visiting folks, offering expressions of concern. Those things refresh those who are burdened, help them through the difficult times. So we care and we bear. To use a coin a phrase, maybe, we're care bearers. Okay? We care and we bear. The Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 16, the Lord grant mercy to the house of Onesiphorus, for he often refreshed me, was not ashamed of my chain, but when he arrived in Rome, he sought me out very zealously, the ESV says, earnestly, I think. He sought me out very zealously and found me. Here's somebody, it's not just, if I happen to bump into somebody that's having trouble, I'll give them a fist bump or something like that. That's not Onesiphorus. Onesiphorus is, Paul is in jail. He's rotting in jail, probably in prison in Rome. And Onesiphorus goes to Rome and he hunts Paul down, figures out, what jail is he in? What's his cell number? And can I get in there to see him? And what do I have to do that? And he goes in and he visits Paul apparently more than once while Paul's in chains. And the word Paul uses, it refreshed me. That was so refreshing. You talk about somebody who's, literally probably beat down emotionally, physically, and every other way.
And Onesiphorus just goes in there and refreshes Paul. Just by that visit, when Paul was down and out.
In Hebrews 10 and verse 34, whoever the writer of Hebrews may be, he says to those to whom he's writing, he says, "You had compassion on me in my chains, joyfully accepting the plundering of your goods, knowing that you have a better and enduring possession for yourselves in heaven." So
you comforted me. You had compassion. There's our word again. You had compassion in my chains when I was going through hard times. And you showed me that being willing to go through hard times yourself. You were willing for people to take your stuff, for people to throw you in prison. You were willing to suffer the kinds of things I was suffering. And I didn't want that for you, but it was a relief to me to know that I wasn't the only one. That's one of the things you remember that Barnes said, because we all share in the same kinds of burdens. We've all had bad experiences. We've all had pain and sorrow and sickness and burdens that overwhelmed us and responsibilities that we didn't think we could discharge and so many different things. The Hebrew writer will later say in Hebrews 13 and verse 3, "Remember the prisoners as if chained with them, those who are mistreated, since you yourselves are in the body also." And this gets back to one of our main points. We remember one another in our burdens because we're in the body also. That could mean one of two things, may mean both. First of all, we're in physical bodies that suffer the same things. We're in the body also. So, you know, when other people are going through hard times, if we're in a physical body, we're going to go through hard times too. Secondly, we're in the body of Christ together. Right? We are in the body. We're family. And when one member suffers, what did Paul say in 1 Corinthians? One member suffers, all the members suffer with it. First Corinthians 12 and verse 25. "There should be no schism or division in the body, but that members should have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. If one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it." We share experiences and we share as family. Remember the prisoners as if chained with them. Remember those who've lost loved ones, as if that was your loved one that was lost. Remember those who are sick, as if you're the one who's sick. Remember those who are overburdened by financial responsibilities, family problems, as if those were your finances that are crashing, that was your family that's falling apart. Remember those with emotional problems that they cannot control, as if you were feeling those emotions yourself. Remember the prisoners as if you're chained with them. That's compassion. That's what Jesus had. That's what we must have. Acquainted with grief, share it and help others bear it. Finally, all of you be of one mind, having compassion for one another. Love as brothers, be tender-hearted, be courteous. I'm not one, I guess I'm strange. Y'all know that already. I'm strange. I don't like smells particularly. I don't like pretty smells. Most people like pretty smells. But I'm not particularly a pretty smell person. But there are people, many of you in this room, I know, who, if you just get the right essential oil or the right candle and, you know, rub that on or burn that candle or spray this scent around, you're going to feel so good. You know, that just, you're going to smell that smell and you just feel so good. I don't relate to that very much, but I understand, again, I'm strange.
A lot of people get that. In Proverbs 27, in verse 9, ointment and perfume delight the heart, and the sweetness of a man's friend gives delight by hearty counsel. Do not forsake your own friend or your father's friend. Be a friend. We started out with a story about a nurse whose friend said to her, "You don't have to protect me from your grief." Let's say to one another, "You don't have to protect me from your grief." If you need to share it, you share it. Share it with me. Let's be friends. Let's be like Jesus. Have a good talk with a friend. Have a good talk with the Lord. You'll be refreshed. We're about to sing a song that will encourage those who need encouragement to do so, to obey the gospel, but also to come with a burden. If you're a member of the Lord's church and you have something you need prayers for, problem that you're dealing with, feel free to share it with the person sitting next to you or some other person in this congregation. But if you want to share it with the whole congregation, you can come right now and ask for prayers. And we'll be happy to pray with you and for you, whether it's a matter of sin or just something you're dealing with in your life, however that may be. We'd ask you to come while we stand, while we sing.